Welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's the Monday.
Only they love me. Woo! Under pressure, 7 billion people in the world trying to fit in. Keep it.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's Monday and it's Ray and Tay today. I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And man, it is a great, great, great sports Monday. And just glad that you guys are with us on this ride, this journey, this enjoyment train. You want to give us a call? It's 718-664-9098. Please hit us up continually, and we appreciate it on the email, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. That's R-A-E-A-N-D-T-A-Y today@gmail.com. Also, you know, hit us up on the Twitter. Follow us on Twitter and also the Facebook, Ray and Tay Today. So, oh, man, it's a lot going on, man. So, Ray, let him know what's popping. Hey, you know what I want to tell you, man? Shout out. I had to give a little tribute. Artist of the Year for the American Music Awards, Justin Bieber. The young fella did his thing last night, American Music Awards. And, you know, these award shows, Ray, they're always so behind, right? Because hip-hop artist of the year, you know, we do a lot of hip-hop on this show. Album of the year was Nicki Minaj. But her album was out like a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, Pink Friday. So I'm like, well, that's a little late. Like, I mean, she's had a great year and a half, but gosh.
Who's voting for these awards? That's what I'm asking. How are they voting? Are they still mailing it in? Are they going with the Electoral College?
Or are they I don't know. It's outdated, man. These awards are outdated. The Grammys are a little bit more up to date, but the American Music Awards, they gotta step it up. You know, come on. So, hey.
Yeah, well, let's talk about what we've got on this action-packed show today. So, first of all, we've got a lot of breaking news in a bunch of sports. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to get into some basketball. We're going to talk about our Ray and Tay go at it in every sport. Not only do we talk about it, but we go fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball. My man Tay doing fantasy hockey leagues. Black Ice, he called himself, came in second place. Was doing big things in hockey. So, Gary Bettman, get your act together so Tay can get his
fantasy hockey team. Some years ago. I haven't done fantasy. I only did fantasy hockey once, but coming to second place for somebody that doesn't know hockey like that was a big thing. Big thing.
Yeah, well,
man.
So we're going to talk about our fantasy basketball. We're going at it. We went at it last week. We've got, of course, the NFL Week 11. We had 5 great games, and we'll talk a little bit about football. And then we'll preview this Monday night game, big NFC battle between Chicago and San Francisco.
Defense.
And then we'll defense, and 2 backup quarterbacks going at it. And then we also have our weekend post-weekend segment, Champs and Chumps, where we talk about our best and worst of the weekend. So let's start off with some breaking news.
Oh, man. Well, listen, what you want to do, man? You want football first? You want basketball first? Let's get the basketball out of the way. Listen, this breaks my heart. Brandon Roy made an incredible comeback after, you know, having to retire from the league with his knees from the Portland Trailblazers and signed with Minnesota. He was, you know, doing okay. He's having or had surgery on his knee. So I just wish him well, and I hope he can make it back. That's poor guy.
I mean, yeah, it's his career has been marred by those knee injuries that he's had. And then Andrew Bynum, we didn't get to this on Friday, but Andrew Bynum went bowling and re-injured himself, and now it looks like December is
going
to stretch for him to come back. He's a young guy, man. I hate to see injuries bring people down. You know, Greg Oden and there's a whole list of people, especially big men out there, who just get their careers shortened by injuries. So I hope Andrew Bynum doesn't fall into that crew.
Hey,
but
Ray,
yeah,
the best thing about Bynum is his haircut.
Remember
okay.
When Ben Wallace used to have that haircut? They'd be like, blow it out, Ben, blow it out.
That's the best thing right now going on about that young fella is his haircut.
Well,
so,
for him and
know.
For Sixer fans, I hope he does get back on the court and get back on the court strong and soon, hopefully by end of December,
well,
early January.
Listen, they're definitely sad down in Baltimore, right? You got Ed Reed suspended. And I'm a Steeler fan. I was upset last night, but That was not a bad hit. Ed Reed was no intent. He suspended one game without pay, which is kind of harsh. And
he's going to have to appeal that. I mean, that's over $400,000. So it's fine
crazy.
And dandy when you're finding people $15,000. I mean, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, or even $50,000.
A game check for three hits, one of them being in 2010. They're going to have to, and they have an appeals committee with Art Schell and ex players on that appeals committee. So that'll go to appeal. I don't know.
But he's going to miss the Chargers game. I mean, whether they suspend him with pay or not, but he's going to lose the one game. So he will miss the Chargers game.
Wow.
Now, the thing is, now before we get to all these other NFL injuries, I got to stay in Maryland because right now my heart is heavy and I am distraught. At the University of Maryland, they voted early this morning unanimously to leave the ACC and go to the Big Ten.
Horrible.
And the Rutgers is also leaving the Big East, going to the Big Ten. The Big Ten will have 14 teams. So, Tal would say, call it the Big 14. But
well, now they can
so
officially change their name because of the Big Ten, and they have 12 teams. But now that they have the Big 14, there's nobody that has 14 teams.
They
so that makes that easier. But you know what?
Stupid,
it's
the
horrible.
Big greedies. Now, listen, I've had people, like, shout out to my boy Joshua Mason. He was like, hey, E, they had to do it for the TV money because the Big Ten's got the network, you know, the big Big Ten network deal. But listen, if you're in Maryland, you can't drive to Michigan to see your kids play if you stay locally. You can't drive to Iowa, Nebraska, you know, maybe to Penn State. It's just unnatural. And then I know it's all driven for football and football money, but it's freaking disgusting. I'm pissed. And I am a University of Maryland College Park alum of the ACC. And I'm proud to say that, and I always will be of the ACC. That's whack, yo.
All right, so you're going to play a team, you're going to have a division that you go as far west as Iowa and Wisconsin.
So what am
Maryland.
I going to be? Am I going to be in the leaders division or the legends division?
I don't even care about
that's
those
so corny.
Teams. I just care about the fact that, especially teams that were instrumental in. So what does Lenny Elmore think? What does Boomer Esiason think? What do all
Randy
these
White,
Randy White? What are all these people?
All
who
of these
played,
guys
grew up playing Carolina, Duke, you know, Georgia Tech. All these teams now, their rivals are now Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Illinois. I mean, that's crazy. That has no semblance of regional rivalries. It's all about football and it's all about TV. And that's just a terrible combination. We're selling out and oh man, I guess there's too much money on the table for them to say no. But it just puts a bad taste in your mouth.
That's depressing.
When founders of conferences like Boston College and Syracuse and Pitt are now going to the ACC. So then that forces Maryland to say, well, we're losing out on our money because we're at the middle of the bottom end of that conference now in terms of recruiting. So we got to go out west. And the Big 12 is like, great, we can get into the New York and Philly TV markets. So fantastic. Oh, it's just
yeah. Well, they're going to the central
state market,
still,
of course.
It's horrible, but anyway, continuing, so, my hearts are heavy for all my folks down there in the Maryland, D.C. area. We lose the rivalry with UVA, which was great, because my cousin Dawn went to UVA and I went to Maryland. We had that rivalry. It's gone. So, anyway, back to football. Look, everybody's hurt, right? For my team, Leftwich, cracked ribs. We saw that last night. He couldn't throw the freaking ball anywhere. We'll talk about that later. So it looks like Charlie Batch is going to start. They'll bring in some guys. Blaine Gabbert hurt. He's not starting. Chad Henne gets a starting position.
Well, Chad Henne's starting because of performance, even. He said,
well,
look,
yeah,
he
and I don't know if Gabbert's going to be healthy for next week anyway. But Chenny played great. Then our boy, Willis McGahee. Oh, Ray. Yeah. Tell him what happened, man.
That was gruesome. By the way, he has a torn MCL. And if you remember in the national championship game when Miami played Ohio State, that was horrible where he blew all four ligaments in his knee. So he's had enough knee injuries. Leave this kid alone.
And he had a fracture. They said he's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep,
so
6 to 8 weeks. Torn MCL.
Ronnie Hillman, Lance Ball, and
good pick
maybe
up Ronnie
Jeremiah,
Hillman,
wait, Jeremiah Johnson, and maybe Noshawn Moreno, those four. Between those four, toss a coin up in the air and see who you can pick up on fantasy football. Then the Gronk has surgery this morning. On one of the last plays of the game, people can kill Belichick. Like, why are you running up the score with Brady? You got Gronk on the extra point. He breaks his forearm. He's out 4 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, that's a freak accident. I don't really, what can you say about that? Oh, because the problem is with the 53-man roster, you can't have substitutes on special teams because you just don't have enough guys. So that's just a freak.
Well, they have another tight end. They have a backup tight end.
Yeah, but he's not.
Vashenko should have been in there.
Special
but I mean, yeah.
He's not
I mean,
used
look,
to being on the kick on the extra point team.
I know, but at the end of the day, what you're blocking for the 59th point? Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real.
No, but it's a matter
okay.
of practice time, right? It's a matter of practice time and practicing with that squad. You just don't have substitutes.
No,
on,
I know,
you know,
but I'm just saying he's on the edge blocking. It's not, you know, I'm just saying it to nitpick, but it is kind of silly. Then our boy McCoy, Shady, concussion. He's day-to-day. It's not as bad as Vic, so he'll probably play. Shall we go on? I mean...
Alex Smith is not going to play tonight.
Yeah.
And we got Kaepernick playing tonight along with Jason Campbell. So, obviously, you know, Jay Cutler's out tonight. This is a tough week in football. I mean, it's week 11. It's adding up. Everybody in the NFL now has played 10 games. So the bye weeks are behind us now. But now those injuries, you need to start getting healthy and get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's definitely rough. But, hey, listen, let's give a big congrats to your boy. Why don't you tell him what happened this weekend in NASCAR?
Yeah, Brad Keselowski, the young buck, second youngest. He came in 15th place. That's all he needed to do was come in 15th or better. He wins at Miami Homestead. Jeff Gordon ends up finishing third. He had a problem in pit row. They didn't put all of the, you know, they didn't secure the tire, so NASCAR penalized and made him come in and make another pit. But anyway, shout out to Keselowski. You know, he was the young buck. Everybody, you know, remember he got into those fights early on.
Hey, look, Jimmy Johnson can't be upset, right? He's won plenty. But you know what's interesting? Your boy Keselowski, he is in his third year, he's the only guy who's, you know, won in their first 3 years. The other one were Dale Earnhardt in his second year and Gordon in his third year to win a Chase title and championship. And the first one for Penske. And Penske's been in it for like 40 years. This is their first Chase championship.
Yeah. I mean, he's an open car racing legend, Penske. And now in NASCAR, he's been in the game for a while, but this is the first time he's actually won. So good for him. Roger Penske, shout out to RP.
Yeah.
So, let's get into college football, man. So
BCS is a mess.
depends on who's your team, right?
I know.
If you're Alabama, you lost it, and then it came right back to you. So just real quick for those people who don't know, Notre Dame is undefeated, number one, and number two, three, and four are SEC teams, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, all one-loss SEC teams. And Alabama and Georgia play each other. They both have cupcake games coming up. They both play each other in the SEC championship next week. So, in 2 weeks, right? Not this coming weekend, but the weekend afterwards. And the winner of that game, it looks like, unless USC beats Notre Dame, the winner of that game.
And Matt Barkley's out.
Yeah, we didn't mention that. Matt Barkley's out. So the winner of that game, the Alabama-Georgia game, is one team that's pretty much assured to be in the national championship, assuming they don't lose beforehand. And their opponent will be Notre Dame if Notre Dame beats USC. And then if Notre Dame were to lose to USC, then, you know, who knows? It could be Oregon, K-State would have
or
to have.
Or could be, or Florida.
Florida.
Has the outside shot. If they beat Florida State and then they're not in that championship game, Florida could say, hey, we should be in the chip versus Alabama.
Yeah, they have a shot. They have an outside chance. But really, it's Notre Dame's and the Alabama-Georgia winners, you know, they control their own destiny.
Right, but we still kind of all want to see Oregon, you know, to play Alabama. But, hey, big shout-out to Stanford, Coach David Shaw, the quarterback, Stephon Taylor, the running back, Hogan, the quarterback. That was a big win. Stanford went to Oregon and took care of business at Eugene. That was big. UCLA won over USC. That was big, you know. College football is exciting, man. One thing I can say week to week is exciting. But, you know, we got to shout-out your boy Meyer at Ohio State, 11-0. They play Michigan, which is Ray and I's favorite college football team. So we're hoping Michigan wins, right? But give Ohio State and Irving Meyer props. 11-0, Braxton Miller, all their players. you know, they obviously are on probation, but what a season for Ohio State.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that program is back. Not that it ever went anywhere, but, yeah, Urban Meyer's the man. Yeah, one final shout-out from the college world is there's the Progressive Legends Classic at the Barclay Center. I'm going tomorrow night. Not going tonight. Tonight's Indiana, Georgia, and UCLA, Shabazz Muhammad, number two recruit in the nation.
Oh, yeah.
Shout
some
out
good
to
college
all the
Bruins basketball
fans against Georgetown. And then that's the two semifinal games. And then tomorrow, if the higher-rated teams win, then you got Indiana, UCLA. I'll be looking forward to that game tomorrow, hopefully. Number one Indiana against number 11 UCLA tomorrow.
Cody Zeller.
Yeah, so I'll report back on Wednesday how that is to see a college basketball game.
It's going to be freaking awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what's great? Give Barclays credit, right? They have already gotten some big college basketball games. They're getting the concerts. They're not playing over there in Brooklyn, yo.
No, Brooklyn basketball, that's going to be synonymous.
Speaking of basketball, in our second, you know, we have the Ray and Tay League, right, for fantasy basketball. You know, Ray and Tay, we do have some fantasy. But we also have a league with my boy Oren and, you know, some of my friends from the University of Maryland. And this is a little, you know, a little money fantasy basketball. Ray and I, E-Complete versus Finger Roll. I got to give
this
a shout out to Ray.
This is one thing I could do.
Is Finger Roll. We had a matchup. I won 6-3. He won, you know, I give Ray credit because the categories he won, turnovers, rebounds, and steals. So he's got a defensive team. So let's just read off the lineups for fun to you guys. We meant to do it on Friday. We didn't get a chance to, a busy show. Okay, so for me, my starting backcourt, right? I got my man, Damian Lillard, who's my rookie of the year pick. I got O.J. Mayo, he's killing it at Dallas, right?
Collison and Mayo is a nice backcourt.
You called it with that one, right? Then I've got Wesley Matthews at the three, which I really like, you know. Then I had to pick up a little, you know, little slot little player. I went with my man out of Atlanta for 3 points, Anthony Morrow, to shoot it up a little. He's been doing good. I got Carmelo Anthony
for my
starting power forward. Then I've got the other rookie of the year, Anthony Davis, who's really – I didn't know he could score like this. He's doing it up, dropped like 28 the other night for season high. Yeah. My other center out here from Phoenix who – man, he's still up there in rebounds and blocks. Marcin Gortat. I love Gortat. He's a good ball player. Then my other big center, I got Brook Lopez from Brooklyn's in the house. Give me some nice scoring, which is, you know, what you always need from a big guy. Then at utility, I'm rocking with Jamal Crawford, who's, you know, the man off the bench. And then my backup point guard in my other utility, I got Brandon Jennings from the Milwaukee Bucks, who is just killing it, right? And my bench, you know, we only have 3 bench guys in this league. I like my bench roster. You know, you rotate him in. And he's only on the bench tonight. Obviously, he's my number one pick. I have Kevin Durant, who is my starting
three. He got his first triple-double. He got his first triple-double the other day.
Yo, can I tell you, they're going to be okay. I still got them going to the finals out west. Then I have the glue to the New York Knicks, who are 7-1. You know, we beat San Antonio, lost to Memphis. That's all right. Beat the Pacers. But a shout-out to my Knicks, Raymond Felton, okay, who's doing big things, shooting well, penetrating, dishing. And then my last man, another shout-out. I got the Brooklyn, the Knicks, and I got the Phoenix represented lovely. I got Luis Scola, the former Rocket, power forward and center for the Phoenix Suns, Luis Scola. So that's Tay's team. You know, I beat Ray 6-3, and you know I needed that, right? Ray's been, we've split in football a little bit this year, but like, you know, fantasy pigskin picks, Ray's killing it. He's killing me this year, so this was a nice comeback for Tay. So you know,
yeah,
break
I'm
down
hurting
your
a little bit. Let me go through my team a little bit. First of all, on the bench because we don't have an injury reserve spot, so I'm holding Steve Nash on the bench. So keep in mind, I'm a little short on the firepower at the guard position without Nash. But my guards right now are a very underrated Goran Dragic in Phoenix, who's putting
he's
up.
Great.
He's going to put up a big, big season. Kobe, the Black Mamba Bryant as my two guard, and then, which should be Steve Nash, but it's Ramon Sessions right now, Charlotte, just hoping to just fill in that spot until Steve gets better. I got my man Klay Thompson. If you don't know about Klay, check out Golden State. I mean, he was my prediction to win the three-point shooting for the NBA this year. So it's off to a little bit of a slow start, having some trouble shooting a little bit, but he'll be fine. And with all the defense, you know, around those other shooters that they have on that team, I think Klay Thompson will be fine. My power forward right now, even though he plays small and power forward, is Rudy Gay. The other forward I have, and you know Rudy, he's just a stat
no joke
across the board. Yeah, he's nice. As long as his head's in the game, and the fact is they can't really double team them because he's got Zebo and Gasol on that team, and Mike Conley's doing well distributing. So Rudy's going to put up big numbers. Big Baby Davis is my other forward, and he's been putting up some big numbers. You know,
yeah.
Big Baby
he's really matured.
He's no baby, right? He's really started.
He ain't no freaking baby, Joe. I ain't no baby.
So that's my man, Big Baby Davis. My centers are Dwight Howard and Tyson Chandler. So I have in my two centers four-time defensive players of the year, the last four-year defensive players of the year. So I figured I'd be okay with rebounding, block shots.
Yeah, that's why you beat me in rebounding.
Field goal percentage. My utility player is Derek Favors, who I'm a little bit upset about. I mean, this guy has all the talent in the world.
You might need to cut him and scoop up somebody else.
I'm almost giving him too much credit for being an athlete. I think that on a fantasy roster, he's not good enough. He's not delivering the goods. My other fantasy utility is a versatile forward, Wilson Chandler. I think he's just not healthy. So I think with his knees and he sat out again, this season might be a wash, or maybe until January or February until he really gets healthy, because he's not what he should be. I mean, this guy should be the poor man's Rudy Gay. I mean, this guy is an all around versatile player. And then I got another one of those all around players in Thaddeus Young, and then I got Chris Humphreys for some rebound and some interior, high field goal percentage. So that's my team right now. I'm not doing so great.
Nash,
I'm hoping that Wilson Chandler and Steve Nash get healthy. And you're right, I might have to cut Derek Favors. But that's my team right now.
Not bad. Not bad. I got you this time. Maybe when we play again in a couple of weeks, we'll see what happens. So listen, let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump into week 11, reviewing these great games of the NFL. Ray and Tay.
Let's play the same game. I love you more. Let's play the same game. Sure.
We're back and we're talking NFL Week 11. Again, every time I say that, I'm happy, but I get depressed because that means we're 1 week away from – 1 week closer to week 17, which is the last week of the regular season.
It goes too fast. It's the greatest season and the just most exciting week to week. And now we got, pretty much from week two on, we got Thursday games and Sunday, Monday. It's just – it fills up your life so lovely from September to January, and then it's like –
it's beautiful.
Bye.
And now that I have the red zone –
it just leaves you. It breaks your heart, man. It's like a cold. It's a cold-hearted snake woman. The NFL is like Paula Abdul. So anyway, look, I can laugh now, but I was freaking pissed off last night. We're talking about the first game, Sunday Night Football. My freaking Steelers lost 13-10 to the Baltimore Ravens. They are who we thought they were, and we should have won the game.
I didn't even bother calling you.
No, Ray didn't call me last night because he knew. Let me tell you something. I knew that this idiot, and I'm sorry to say because he got me the touchdown, Leftwich, was hurt. And stop being prideful, and Tomlin, stop being loyal. I don't care. I heard them in the locker room today. They're talking, Ryan Clark always got heart. We respect him to steal away. No, it's not heart. If you can't throw the football down the freaking field, you're a liability hurting your team, and we couldn't drive to kick a field goal to send it to overtime. They should have put in Charlie Batch. we gave the Ravens the game at home, and it could freaking hurt us. And we're going to be in a position now where we're going to have to wind up getting the fifth wild card spot probably, right? And it's just like, I don't know.
That's
frustrated.
A tough way to lose. I try to be objective.
Jacoby
here,
Jones gets the touchdown return of the punt.
That's a
couldn't
tough
score.
Way to
Flacco's
lose.
A bum, yo. He's a bum. I'm not scared of him. I'm not
well,
scared of him.
Well, you play him
right.
In 2 weeks, so you get another chance at him. But with the two-game differential, and the fact is that you can only split with them, it's looking tough to win that division. But yeah, it's a tough way to lose when you don't give up an offensive touchdown. You just gave up a special teams touchdown.
Our
and
defense played great.
13-10, the defense
shout
played
out to
great.
Kiesel, Lamar Woodley, Clark.
Yeah.
Yo, our whole team is so banged up. But, yo, Dwyer ran the ball down their freaking throats. And then we get a field goal on that drive? Ah,
yeah. Tough one. That's a tough one. So, and you held Ray Rice in check. Because remember, I was saying how Ray Rice was the best player on the field, and he's going to, you know.
He was a Nathan. He wasn't the best of Nathan, yo.
20 rushes for 40 yards, you held him. But and he just couldn't convert on offense. You know, in this league, it's all about scoring touchdowns. You know, you have to score a touchdown or two in the red zone to win in this league. Even if you've got a great defense, and you know what I mean? You got to come away with one touchdown. And unfortunately, you guys only put up 10 at home. You held them to 13, and 7 of those are special teams points. So, yeah, that's a game you got to win. That made that division, basically sealed that division for the Ravens. Even though there's still 6 games left. But, yeah, I got to believe that's a tough one. But, yeah, like you said, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, the Super Bowl champ has come out of the wild card bracket. So, you know, you need to get healthy. You need to get Polamalu healthy. You need to get Roethlisberger healthy. You need to get those 3 running backs. It looks like, you know, Haley's putting that running game together. So you guys are fine. The Ravens are kind of a weak 8-2. I mean, they're tough-minded, but the Ravens are beatable at 8-2. So,
hey, listen,
so,
the Chargers without Ed Reed, the Chargers might be able to beat them next week without Ed Reed. You never know.
Yeah,
you feel bad
true.
For the Chargers, man. I thought Denver would win, and they pulled that one out, and it was just, you know, it was, you know, it's Peyton Manning, man.
Yeah, there's going to be some coaching changes in the NFL. We'll talk about that at some other date, but, yeah, the Chargers, woo, looks like the North Carolina.
Yo, just real quick, before we get to this Jacksonville-Texan game, your boy Von Miller is a problem. He's like our man from KC, rest in peace, Derek. What was my man, the linebacker that passed
Derek
away?
Thomas.
Derek Thomas.
Yeah.
That's who he reminds me of. Von Miller is unstoppable, right?
You know, and he might have just taken over from J.J. Watt for the rookie or for the defensive player
defensive
of the year
player of
so
the year.
Far. Yeah, J.J. would look like he was running away with it, but Von Miller leads the
not
NFL
no more.
13 sacks.
He's incredible, man. He's incredible. So, listen, I mean, look, we obviously we move on. 3 overtime games. So, first, let's talk about the freaking Jaguars. Gabbert gets hurt. Your boy Chad Henne comes in, and, I mean, he just does it. That game and that team played with such heart. No Maurice Jones-Drew, bunch of injuries. Mercedes Lewis gets 2 touchdowns. Blackman steps up. Cecil Shorts gets a huge touchdown run. That was incredible. What did you think about that game?
You know, the Texans, who are my team to go represent the AFC in the Super Bowl against the Packers, I don't know if they mentally checked out, but they gave
up. It didn't look too tough.
Yeah, they gave up, what was it, 7 plays of over 25, or 5 plays of over 25 yards? You can't do that against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm
hoping
for their sake. Lucky to win the game. Exactly. The Jaguars had the ball on the 45-yard line with a chance to win the game. So that's not very impressive, giving up 37 points to Jacksonville, to a team that's on their third-string running back, their third-string quarterback. You know, that's – so if you're Houston, you gotta splash some water on your face and shake it off and come back and say,
well,
look –
well, it's good to see Andre Johnson – back again,
yes.
You know, like
yes.
Playing like a number one receiver, right?
We're about to put an APB out on him, but where you at maybe on him. But, yeah, he, especially on the fantasy side where people were taking him as a top, you know, first-round pick. So, yeah, Andre Johnson's back. Hopefully he's back into his pre, you know, 2011, so it was a 2010 form, and he's doing his thing, and he's healthy, because I think that the key to him is just health. When he's healthy, he and Matt Schaub are about as good as he gets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Houston shakes this off. I think they're fine. A W is a W. They shake this off.
Well, listen, you're happy to see Justin Blackmon, and I think the surprise of the year came out of nowhere is your boy Cecil Short, you know, and that was a great touchdown run for over 60 yards. He had, what, like about 80-some-odd yards receiving. And, you know, it's good to see Jacksonville maybe they could turn the corner if Maurice Jones-Drew gets healthy. This franchise, you feel like they're kind of cursed. I mean, does Jacksonville leave Jacksonville and maybe go to
LA? I mean, that's the only place to lead the team. But you know what? I don't know that LA deserves a franchise. They're so flaky, especially when it comes to football. They used to have two. They used to have the Raiders and the Rams, and they
didn't support either one.
They didn't support them. Hold on a second. I think we got a call here. Let's see. We got a caller. Caller, you're on the air. What do you got? You got a football question for us? Basketball? What do you got, caller?
Hello? Ray and Tay.
Ray and Tay, caller, you with us? All right, looks like we might be having some technical difficulties with the caller. So,
well, let's
go on
to the next overtime game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What a game with the Panthers, 27-21. Buccaneers do it. That was some great football. Can I tell you, Freeman and Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams, Doug Martin, Tampa is to be reckoned with and could possibly make the playoffs this year.
That all of that is true, and shout out to Jay Robinson, you know, because he doubled down. I've never seen this in fantasy football. He doubled down on two teams, on the Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So 7 of his 9 players came from those two teams. So when the Tampa Bay Bucks were down and they only had 13 points, I was so happy. But then as they start driving down the field, Doug Martin got his points.
Freeman, right? 3 touchdown passes.
God.
Only 248 yards with 3 touchdown passes.
It was terrible. But here's the thing. Carolina's got to feel nauseous. They were up 21-13.
Yeah.
And not only did they lose go into overtime, and then in overtime, Dallas Clark scored a touchdown. So they gave up 14 unanswered in basically 2 drives. And 2 great catches by Vincent Jackson. Doesn't San Diego wish they had him?
6 catches, 94 yards in a TD.
But those two tough catches on the touchdown and on the 2-point conversion.
And Doug Martin is like, yo, wait a minute, Luck and RG3. 138 yards rushing. He's like, I'm still in this rookie of the year, man. He's something else, this kid, Doug Martin. The muscle hamster. That might be the funniest nickname ever. The muscle hamster, yo. That is pure comedy. But listen, you got to feel for Cam Newton because his running backs have not showed up. The receivers, finally, Brandon LaFell comes up to help Steve Smith, and, you know, Greg Olsen's here and there. LaFell has 93 yards receiving and a touchdown. But right now, I mean, he doesn't have great talent around him. He still needs some help.
And then Jonathan Stewart got injured again. So this guy is just cursed with the injury bug. And so they do have 2 quality backs, theoretically, in D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, but they just can't stay healthy.
And even
not
Tolbert.
To the run.
What happened
and
to Tolbert? You don't even see Tolbert play.
I don't know what's going on there. I really don't. But, yeah, that was the second game. Yeah, so Carolina, they're shooting themselves in the foot again. They should have won that game. I bet they're just nauseous, like I said, losing 27-21 at home. And then the third game.
The third overtime game. Let me tell you something. Your team, the Dallas Cowboys, at home, 3 weeks in a row, you're thinking this is the first one that they probably should, you know, do some things and maybe win all 3 of these games, right? You know, Thanksgiving, they got the Redskins coming into town. They won, but they messed around and almost lost to the Cleveland Browns when there was no reason for that to happen. I don't even know what to say. I'm going to let you talk about your team because, to me, I just couldn't root for them because there were so many dumb plays. There were so many, like, calls and, you know, even clock management again in his game for a little bit. Cleveland's not that good.
They're really not that good. Well, they're not that good on the one hand, but on the other hand, they stay in games. Their defense, and particularly their defensive line, is tough, and they cause havoc. And
right, they're linebackers.
Like the Dallas Cowboys do, like the Philadelphia Eagles.
But their
Eagles
best secondary player wasn't even playing. Joe Hayden couldn't even play.
Well, that's why
Dez Bryant got so busy. They locked Miles Austin, and then Bryant
busy. The problem was, just like in the Eagles game, is that they couldn't protect Romo. So Romo was under pressure the whole game. And, in fact, when they turned the ball over with Whedon at the end of the fourth quarter and Romo had the ball at midfield, he fumbled it right back because he was running away from pressure. And, again, Dallas always finds a way to shoot themselves in the foot. This game should have sealed that game. They should have taken care of business, but they didn't, and they had to – basically get a game that, again, Cleveland could have easily won that game. To, you know, if
yeah,
you
23-20, you won it.
Oh, my God. But the Cowboys, again, you know, at the end of the season, you have to break up this team. But for now, they're 5-5. They're excited. The Giants are 6-4. And remember, the Cowboys play Thursday. So if the Cowboys beat the Redskins, which is no, let's just say they do, they'll be half a game behind the Giants going into the game, and the Giants end up having played a Packers. So it's conceivable that the Cowboys are right back in it. Look, I don't know that they're winning the division or they're doing anything like that. The Giants are a better team. But, you know, hope springs eternal, so all the folks in Dallas are going to be all excited again, like, yeah, we got something to be happy about. But, yeah, Cowboys, same old story, right? It's just same old story. They happen to win this game, whereas the other games like Baltimore and a few of the other early games, the Giants, same old story. We lose the game. So until this team gets some more discipline, gets a better offensive line, and establishes –
But listen, one thing I will say, I mean, Romo is so talented. But 50 attempts, that's a lot of passes, 313 yards. To me, yep, they need to run the ball. Now, look, Felix gets banged up. So and your boy,
he gets banged up.
Yeah,
and
this guy's not going to play again, DeMarco Murray. So Thursday, you're going to rely on this Dunbar kid and Tanner. So,
yeah,
you know, and Tanner's not even – he didn't even get that many carries. So Dunbar had, 5 carries for 10 yards. So Dunbar and Tanner are going to be your go-to backs on Thursday against the Redskins. I don't know.
You never know in these rivalry games. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. Let's see if we can pull in this caller again. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Big Hank.
What's going on? Hey, I wanted you guys to comment because you were talking about the Steelers. Are they working out another quarterback, or are they going to roll with Charlie?
No, they didn't announce who. They're bringing them in tomorrow. They're bringing in 2 quarterbacks. I don't know who they are to work out. But
well, you know what the rumor is, right?
Charlie. Say
you know what the rumor is?
Who?
Well,
the no, the rumor is McNabb.
What?
It's a rumor.
Wow.
It's a rumor, though.
Breaking the rumor. What do you got, Adam Schefter? You get a Twitter feed?
You know what? It's funny that you said that, but it was actually somebody on Twitter, which I have no idea who this guy is and whether he knows who he's talking about or not, but it actually was on Twitter.
He's perfect.
Now, it could be McNabb's agent who's tweeting this, right? So,
well, as a Steeler fan, let me tell you, Donovan McNabb's been at NFL Network. Now, they said before the season he's gotten into shape. I don't know. To me, I feel more comfortable with Charlie Batch, to be honest with you, the way Donovan played the last couple years.
No, but you're talking about backing up Charlie Batch. This is like the second or third string. Oh, and by the way, when you used to have Mike Ward, he was the emergency quarterback. Who's the guy if Leftwich can't play?
Leftwich is not playing. It's Charlie Batch, and then they don't have a fourth guy. So
well,
Donovan McNabb would be the fourth guy.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. You need 2.
Yeah.
We're not saying McNabb to start. We're saying who's going to be your backup to Charlie Batch.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm just upset. They should have benched Leftwich last night. Everybody watched that game could see that Leftwich was in a lot of pain, and he couldn't throw the freaking ball, Hank. I was pissed. And, Hank, I could freaking choke your Dolphins. What the hell is wrong with Ryan Tannehill?
Didn't you address that
football
on a previous show? Didn't you address that on a previous show? There's no need. There's no need to talk about that again. Well, let's just leave that alone.
Well, hey, what do you think about the Knicks, real quick, Hank? Before we let you go, man, we're talking
football,
but I got to ask
you. Here's
what
I think about
good.
The Knicks. Here's what it's amazing how much influence Jason Kidd has on a team.
Oh, he's so great.
He's actually making these guys play for four quarters, which is not a Nick thing, as you know, right? They haven't done that.
But there's a lot of different guys, though, too. Wallace,
right?
Camby, Ronnie Brewer. You know what they brought in? A bunch of gentlemen, veterans, classy veterans.
That's
and
right.
Defensive players. And no, Hank brings up a great point, though, because throughout his career, he did this with scrubs on his team, but he also did this with stars. Remember when Jason Kidd was on the Olympic team, they kept saying, this guy will not lose. A Jason Kidd team will not lose because he gets everybody around him to play and be motivated and to put forth the effort and to play like a team. So, yeah, Jason Kidd, nothing but good things to say about him. His influence has been great. Everywhere he's been, his influence has been great with the Nets, with Dallas, with the Knicks, with the Olympic team.
Yeah, he's
this
probably
guy
a future
just,
head coach.
If he wants to be,
yeah. He's
got to
be.
I mean,
yeah,
Hall of Famer for sure.
Hey, Hank, real quick, before we let you go, who you got tonight, Niners, Bears?
Well, I mean, come on. You know, I actually think that Jason Campbell is a serviceable backup. And with that in mind, I think that the Bears can win this game. Because I just think Campbell can play. I think Campbell's just had bad luck of having bad coaching and inconsistent coaching his whole career. And, you know, he's not gonna put up 30, right? He's not going to put up 30, but this game is going to be like, you know, 12 to 15, right? That's what the score is going to be. So if he can just score one offensive touchdown, they can win the game. That's what
All
I
right.
think. Yo, you guys
right,
have
man.
A good
thanks
one.
Thanks for calling in, Hank.
Take
yeah,
care,
thanks
fellas.
For the call.
Later.
Peace.
Take care.
Well, you know, we both will get into that as we preview. Let's finish off this last game. What did you think about your boy, Aaron Rodgers, 24-20, going into Detroit, division game, and just pulling out a victory, you know?
Detroit's got to be killing themselves, too, because they think that they should have won that game. And I can't really fight them on that. And
oh, there
now,
was a JaMychal Finley sighting.
Yeah, right, exactly. ATV
he's alive.
On JaMychal. But now the Lions are 4-6, and they really needed that game to go to 5-5. And they really probably in their heart of hearts feel like they should have won that game. But you got to win
this
it
This is exactly
field.
What I thought it would have been. You know, that's what we talked about on Friday. I thought the Lions would take them to the brink and then just lose. They're just not that great of a team. And look, give Starks credit, right? 25 carries, 74 yards. It was good enough, you know? It was good enough. And Cobb, hey, how about this, Ray? Randall Cobb is nobody's kickoff return specialist. 9 receptions, 74 yards, and a TD. Randall Cobb is the truth. Imagine
yeah,
if they get
know.
Greg Jennings back, healthy Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Finley comes back, the Packers could be ready to head back to the Super Bowl, y'all.
And you didn't even mention Jones and Driver. Think about how how deep they are.
It's ridiculous.
They go 4 wide, 5 wide. I mean, that's crazy. They'd love to do that. Now, you're going to have to run the ball in the playoffs a little bit, especially if you want to play outdoors and really slow another team down. But, yeah. I still have the Packers and the Texans in the Super Bowl, so you know I'm still a big fan.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm chomping at the bit if I'm the Steelers. If I have to go to the Texans, I think we could take them. So I'm not that scared of the Texans. The team that scares me right now is the Patriots, and we'll get into that later. But so one thing I will say, Brandon Pettigrew, he's a bum. He's a bum. The Lions need help. I don't know what's he's supposed to be this. You know, he's supposed to be this great tight end. No, he's not. No, he's not. Let's just stop it. You know, it's I don't know. It's frustrating. And shout out to your boy, Broles, who got a touchdown. We used to play at Oklahoma, you know.
Another
who,
one of the torn ACL. So good for him for coming back and delivering.
Coming back and.
And I like Broles and Titus Young and Nate Burleson, and I think those guys all fill in a role behind Calvin Johnson. And you're right, Pettigrew has been a little disappointing. But I still think the key to that team is Michael LeSueur. If he can
– He's playing good, though. They just got to give him the rock, right?
If he can stay on the field and be consistent, then I think that they're fine offensively. And with that defensive line that they have, they do, you know, pick up a free agent here, linebacker, and maybe bolster up the secondary a little bit. I really like that Detroit Lions team. I really do. Even though they're 4-6, they're more exciting 4-6 than the Jets 4-6, that's for sure.
Hey, it's the only shout-out I want to give today. I'm going to preview this Niners-Bears game, but real quick, the Jets won. You know, let's give them a shout-out for that, but I think they're a mess. That whole locker room and Bart Scott trying to boycott the defense, boycott the media, they're stupid. They're immature. They're just dumb. And out here for AZ, you know, shout-out to the Cardinals, man. They just couldn't get it going. They got all those turnovers, and they lose 23-19, but the defense, they fought hard against the Falcons, man. And,
they
you know,
did,
they,
and we'll
they,
talk
they,
about that a
yeah,
little
they,
bit in
they
Tampa.
They try. So tonight, the one thing I'll say, I mean, hopefully Alshon Jeffrey will play, but, you know, with the, you know, Kaepernick and Jason Campbell, I give the edge to Campbell. I think the defenses are pretty equal. I don't know if Kaepernick could get it to the wide receivers, and maybe Vernon Davis will show up. You know, he's normally a double team. I just think it might be between, you know, special teams and who can get a defensive touchdown. You know, you got to watch out for, you know, the Smith guys, right? Alden Smith and Justin Smith, the Niners at home, you know, both good field goal kickers. You know, shout out to Jay because he's got Akers and I got Robbie Gould, but he's up like 15 points. So unless Robbie Gould gets like, you know, a bunch of field goals, I can't do anything. But, you know.
Think about my dilemma. I'm caught in the middle. I got – in our league, I've got where I'm the commissioner, I have the Bears defense. But in Sammy's league, the size disciple, in his brother's league, I'm going up against the Bears defense. So,
you're a mess.
So there's no scenario where I can win
fantasy
both.
Fantasy football can break your heart like that, right?
I
you know?
There is a scenario where I can lose both, though. But there's not a scenario where I can win both. I'll probably go 1-1, but I might go 0-2, depending on how many points the Bears score. But I agree. I think the Bears ultimately have the better, more explosive defense and special teams. And I think that the Bears, with Marshall and Forte, I think they'll be able to get the ball into position where Robbie Gould can kick a few field goals. Maybe they'll score one touchdown, maybe two against the Niners D. And I just don't think the Niners have enough punch. Again, this is what's going to hurt them in the long run, is they're not explosive. And so if you shut Frank Gore down, and Kaepernick wants to run the ball, he's more of a running quarterback than he is a passing quarterback, I think that those weapons that they have out there, Moss and Manningham and Crabtree and Davis, they're just underutilized.
They never touch the ball. They don't ever touch the ball.
So if you're not going to catch the ball with your number one receiver, Alex Smith, who's more of a passing quarterback than Colin Kaepernick, then you're definitely not gonna be able to move the ball up the field. Or like we say, matriculate the ball up the field.
Matriculating, baby. Yo, but one thing I'll say this, although I give the edge to Hester and the Bears, do not sleep on Ginn and Kyle Williams. They're actually, the Niners special teams is actually really good. They're probably right behind the Bears. They've got a very good special teams, just like the Ravens or Jacoby Jones. So don't sleep on the Niners special teams. But I got the Bears winning this one 13-10. It'll be good football to watch, right, for hitting. You know, and stuff like that, and, you know, don't have bad weather because of San Francisco. So it should just be like a good hitting, hard hitting game. But I got the Bears winning 13-10.
Oh, I think it'll be a little more high scoring than that. I think the Bears will win 20-14.
20-14? Yeah. They are who you thought they'd be?
They are who we thought they were. We need to get Dennis Green on the show. Let's put an APB out on Dennis Green and have him.
He's over at the NFL Network doing his thing, man. They got everybody over there.
Oh, we thought they were. And that was, what, Arizona and Chicago, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was a Cardinals coach. And for those of you who don't know, that's one of the top five. We should do that. Top five coaching outbursts in a press conference. And Denny Green,
we'll definitely have to do that before the NFL season ends, man, definitely. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll get into our segment, our Monday segment, Champs and Chumps, Ray and Tech.
Okay, you ready? Say cheese. Okay, who's racing?
Yeah, but it's nice out here, right?
W-I-L-L-I-M, he's a truth, baby, so here I am. W-I-L-L-I-M. He's the truth, baby. So here I am.
We're back, and now it's Monday, so you know what that means. Tell them, Tay, what does that mean?
Champs and chumps of the sports weekend. Oh, man.
Here we go.
Sometimes I laugh because, sometimes it's harder to find chumps, right? You know, you're like, oh, man, there's a bunch of champs. But sometimes it's harder to find chumps. So you want to go? I'll let you go first, man. I normally go first. Why don't you go first?
All right.
You decide what you want to be, positive or negative.
Let's start with the negative. Let's get it out of the way because it's got a bad taste in my mouth. And it probably has more of a bad taste in your mouth and your son, who's an Arizona fan, and I feel for him. But I hate to be the hater, but when they were 4-0, I said they're not a 4-0 team. And they're going to find a way to lose some games. And they've lost 6 in a row. And so my chumps are the Arizona Cardinals, but specifically the Arizona Cardinals passing game. Now,
the defense
was
good.
The defense was great. In fact, that's why I'm so disappointed. If you lose at home, or sorry, on the road, 23-19 to the Falcons, I can live with that. The Falcons are 9-1 now, 8-1 going into the game, and if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you say, look, we played a close game, but we saw the game. It wasn't just that they lost. It was the fact that their defense turned them over, turned Matt Ryan over 5 times, 3 interceptions in the first quarter. You get 5 interceptions and you can only score 19 points? That's embarrassing. You need to do better than that. The Arizona rushing game was fine. Lerod Stevens-Howling had that 52-yarder and ended the game at almost 6 yards a carry, 22 for 127. So he did fine. But that passing game, you are professional quarterbacks. And the two quarterbacks together went 11 for 27 for 41 yards. If you include the net yards from the sacks, 11 for 27 for 41 yards.
It makes you want Kevin Cobb back.
That's unbelievable.
Kevin Cobb when you need him.
Professionals. And you got the ball 5 times on turn on Matt Ryan interceptions, and you could only put up 19 points. In the dome, it wasn't like it was bad weather. It wasn't like there was other external forces. So, yeah, the passing game, the Arizona Cardinals passing game is my chumps, are my chumps for the week.
All right, well, listen, let's keep it moving. For me, I'm going to go -2, get it out of the way, like you said. My chumps, hey, fantasy-wise, I was going to say Phillip Rivers, but I had to change it, right? He got 2 touchdowns, whatever, but he's a mess. Poor Chargers. It's without a doubt, they lose 31-6. The Philadelphia Eagles. It's Andy Reid. It's the coaches, offense, defensive coordinators, morning wig. You know, it wasn't Castillo, now it's Bowles. Defense, it doesn't matter, but it's the players, the whole franchise. Nick Foles, he comes in. The poor kid has to throw it 46 times. Andy Reid does not run the ball enough. Your boy McCoy, 15 carries. He didn't even have that great of a game, fumble, 45 yards. But you know what? That offensive line, yes, they're injured, but they're also professionals and they're inept. The Foles was just on the ground every time he turned around. But it's not just that. Selleck, right? He throws 2 interceptions. But Selleck, the ball's right on his hands. He tips it and it goes to the Redskins. Then the other one, Foles just threw it right to Merriweather like it was a freaking Christmas gift. I mean, it's disgusting. McCoy leads them in receiving, 6 receptions for 67 yards. Cooper shows up and gets 5 receptions for 61 yards. Where in the heck Jackson and Macklin? 5 yards between the two of them. It's a freaking joke. The Santana Moss touchdown, he's 5'9". He jumps over and catches it and should have been tackled at the 2 and just like kind of falls back and loosens away from the tackles and gets into the end zone for one of RG3's 4 touchdowns. And then the other one, one of the other 4 that he threw, Nomni, lets the guy run right by him. He doesn't even stick him. Doesn't even go to defend against Robinson. It's disgusting. The effort is ridiculous. They can't tackle. They're bouncing off of Morris and guys. 6 points? The defense
didn't
even do anything?
Do the Eagles make it to the end of the season? Do they shake that team up, or do they just let them –
Let me tell you something. They're going to play, and it's going to be what it's going to be. But they're a freaking mess. It's a joke. It's a complete joke. I don't even know what to say about the Eagles in a franchise. I think Andy Reid is gone, and you know what? I think it's time. You know, Bill Walsh used to say, hey, after 10 years, you know, you need to change the voice. Well, I think Andy Reid needs to take a year away from the game and then come back and get a great job. But I think the Eagles maybe need to look at Chip Kelly or look at Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator over here at Arizona, something. But the Eagles, they are my chumps of the week. So let's keep it moving.
Okay, all right. Well, let's move to a positive note. And I'm going to throw out a name, Norm Van Brocklin. And he has, for those of you who don't know, he is the NFL leader in yards in one game, 554 yards in 1951. The number two most productive player in NFL history for a single season, that's a little bit of unfair because he did have overtime, is a gentleman by the name of Matthew Schaub, the quarterback for the Houston Texans. He just tied Warren Moon and his also Houston, Houston Oilers.
Yeah. Drafted by the Falcons, though.
Yeah. So he tied Warren Moon at his second overall with 527 yards. So a game that they probably should have lost. They were outplayed for most of the game. But Matt Schaub did his part. I mean, talk about a guy who put up some serious numbers. And they weren't nonsense numbers like in the New England game where they won 49, you know, put up 59 points and they blew them out. They needed every one of these yards. So Matt Schaub goes 43 for 55 for 527 and has five touchdowns. He also throws two interceptions. It's not a perfect game, but this guy threw up 527 yards, second most all-time in NFL history. So he is my champ in a win. Give him the W. So he is my champ of the week, Matthew Schaub.
And he deserves it. And, you know, you could throw Andre Johnson in there too, man. My champ, man, it goes to the New England Patriots. Look, Andrew Luck is young, and the Colts, you know, they come up there, and they were looking to, you know, get the upset. And Luck played good, 334 yards, you know, 50 attempts. But what I love about the Patriots, man, it's Brady. Three touchdown passes, 331 yards. Gronk got busy, did, you know, his regular thing, 137 yards receiving, two touchdowns even with the injury, seven receptions. Russell Welker, seven receptions for 80 yards. But you know what I love about this team? Julie Edelman, Sean Vereen, Ridley, whoever needs to get it done, contributes and gets it done. You know, I mean, one rushing carry for 47 yards, Edelman driving down the field. But Brady was so great. And look at what Belichick, right? He makes the trade right before the deadline at 3:58, right? He gets Talib.
Akeem Talib, yeah.
What does he do? He picks it off and takes it to the house. Then the other kid, Dennard, he is a seventh-round pick at cornerback, picks it off and takes it to the house. So their defense scored two touchdowns. Rob Mankiewicz, he gets a sack and fumble. They just – listen, the Patriots do enough where, guess what, last year they made it to the Super Bowl because they did enough defensively, even though they were ranked low. But to me, they are the champs. The Patriots just get it done.
They stepped up for the challenge.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Teams should be scared of them because Aaron Hernandez will be back Thanksgiving night. Gronk will be out. He's going to just be rested, right? He'll be back 5-6 weeks. They'll be rested, and the Patriots are going to be ready for a playoff run and ready for the Texans when they play them in the Niners in week, I think, 14 or 15 or 15 or 16. So it's going to be interesting, man. So, hey, that's my champs of the week.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, anybody that puts a 59 in the NFL is, you know, not even in overtime is a champ to me. So, that's a good champ. So great week 11. A lot of stuff happening, you know, college basketball is about to kick off, NBA is about to get in full swing.
Knicks, Lakers big win last night against Houston. D'Antoni didn't come back yet, so he'll be back soon.
Yeah,
still getting healthy.
We got a lot to talk about. We got Thanksgiving coming up. We got the three games on Thursday, which we'll preview next time.
Yeah, we'll see you Wednesday.
But yeah, we had a great time with you guys. See you Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all the support and love. Ray and Tay, we're out. Talk to you on Wednesday.
Bye. Talking Sports with Friends. Peace.